have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMC Podcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. My name is Jay Cranda, and I'm out without my co-host, Nils Smith, but I got a better, upgradable version of him in Nick Runyon from Christian Vision. So Nick, thanks so much for being on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm friends with Nils.
I know. I was going to say that was just me setting you up for failure. Like literally just like in honesty, that was me just seeing like, how can I start this in the worst way possible? So Nick, your Christian Vision is an organization that exists to help be really a catalyst to the church and help people come to know Christ. And you partner in a lot of cool ways. And that's kind of how our paths have crossed, because there's been some technology that, like for example, Saddleback, we've been having some issues getting into the 360 video space, and your organization did some help. And they like, you guys, and I'll put this in the show notes, you guys, somebody on your team had done a whole tutorial on how to stitch. A lot of the issues with 360 video that we're having is we're taking 6 GoPro footage, files, stitching them together, and there's stitching issues. Well, somebody in your organization had done this tutorial to help the church figure it out. So for everyone who's listening, why don't you explain a little bit what Christian Vision does, and then we have some fun stuff to talk about.
So yeah, Christian Vision exists to touch a billion people with the gospel. That's our vision. And it has been since 1988 when we were founded. But recently, I'd say in the last 5 or 6 years, we've really shifted hard toward leveraging technology to reach people with the gospel and, you know, introduce them to Jesus and encourage them to become true followers of Christ. So 360 video, like you mentioned, is one of those things. There's a lot of, I think, exciting opportunities on the horizon in that space. And, you know, we're happy to be talking about it with people like you and working with you on those things.
Yeah, like that's, I mean, it's really cool. I mean, I can't tell everybody who's listening how practical the help was. Like it was, we had issues and you guys had this tutorial and it was so clear, because I think with anything, especially when you're getting into new technology, it's you're taking some kind of calculated risk where you're trying to invest in some kind of technology, software, you know, a device or whatever it is, but it's like, who's done this? And it's trying to figure out, and what's the practical way. So with like, let's just start there with 360 video. I know like Nils and I have talked a couple times on the podcast, this idea that of immersive video is very compelling and storytelling. I was curious, like, what are some of the things that you're seeing right off the bat and some of the things you've done with 360 video as Christian Vision and maybe other churches that are probably the most compelling things that makes you think like the church should investigate this more?
I've listened to when you guys have talked about that in the past, and I totally agree with it. I think virtual, well, 360 video, I think, is a precursor to virtual reality. And so that's kind of why we were interested and really thinking, hey, look, this is kind of a low impact way to get involved on the front end of something that's really captured the attention of a lot of people right now. And just a little backstory. The reason we built those tutorials is because Cadeau on our team here, who does our post-production editing, she is amazing at like researching and really trying to understand things well before we dive in. And she kept saying to me, there's nothing out there. Nobody knows how to do this stuff. So really kind of learning as we go. And I said, hey, look, if that's the case, why don't we just kick out some YouTube tutorials really quickly, and maybe it can help other people out? Because that's kind of the spirit of the whole thing, is to just, as you develop that learning, give it away. We want to make those things available to churches and to other people that are in the ministry space. So that's where that came from. But one thing we're really excited about is that 360 video, whether it's on a hands-free head virtual reality experience or Fake and YouTube, both in their mobile apps, do a really good job making this possible for a viewer to kind of physically move their phone around the space that they're standing in and experience 360 video. Those are offering the audience, the viewer, really kind of a different way to experience, I would say, story. And then there's a lot of people talk about story, but the thing that I think is interesting about this is that, you know, 2D filmmaking, we've seen numbers of examples of like really emotive, great filmmaking that causes people to really connect with whatever the message is that's being shared, or the people that are in the film, or the characters. You'll hear people like, this is still one of the most prevalent examples in me is like when Avatar came out, and people were like, I've seen it 40 times. It changed my life. And that was like 3D, maybe 3D on a flat screen in a theater type of experience.
Yeah.
What we're thinking about is 360 video is really kind of more like going to the theater than a movie. I mean, like a Broadway play kind of theater. It's got the ability to really put the person in an experience, and you've got a much greater ability to communicate a message that then the response is like empathy. You can help people feel what other people are feeling in the film. So like Charity Water has a great example of this, and I'm sure probably a lot of your listeners have seen what they produced, but they did this story in 360 video about like traveling to get water on a daily basis and what that involves. And, you know, there's good examples like World Vision. I saw one several weeks ago with some folks at World Vision. They did like a refugee camp experience. One of the guys on our team, a guy named Chad, who's our marketing manager, has a background in creative arts and film and theater, and has done some of that in the past, some acting professionally. And he's like a crazy analytical marketing guy as well. So it's a great combination to have on the team. But he's really beginning to explore, like, how do you take account for things like where the camera is positioned?
Yeah.
360 video means you see everything. So if you got like on a film shoot, you got like a camera rig and lighting rigs and like a whole staff kind of behind the camera. All of that, if it's going to exist, has to be hidden or presented in a way that doesn't interrupt the experience that you're trying to create, because you literally see it in every direction, including down at your feet. Even talking about it as like looking down at your feet, like your feet aren't in the film. And like that's it's like your head is the camera. So it's really exciting space to explore. And hopefully as we do so, we'll continue to come up with some really innovative ways to help people connect with the gospel. Ultimately is the goal here.
I love, it's so funny. Yesterday I had two things. I had a coffee in the morning with a friend, and my friend, who's not really this guy who's, I would say, a technology guy. Anyways, he pulls out from his pocket a 360 like capture from LG that he had gotten with a purchase of his new phone.
Yeah.
And then later that day, another friend showed me the exact same thing. His dad had gotten it free with a phone, and he didn't want it, so he gave it to his son. And I was like, oh, this is hilarious that in a matter of like 2 hours, I see the same thing, and it's both 360 capture. And that little device was actually fairly powerful. And it was only two lenses, so it wasn't like the full, and so there was only one stitch line, and it wasn't necessarily the same thing as you know, some of the larger captures, but you definitely see a saturation now approaching, which obviously is the, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times that's when the church finally catches up with, you know, investing into it. Cause it is an investment. You have to figure it out. But I totally want to echo like the immersive element. We're having even a hard time trying to capture, like we wanted to capture a full service in 360. Like that was something we really wanted to do. And the problem was battery life. And like all these devices, it was like, how could we do it? Even with GoPros, because our services can be a little long, it was like, we only could get to like an hour and 10 minutes or something. And so, and I know there's some ways to get beyond that, but take like a $20,000 investment. And so that's where it's like trying to figure the in-between, but we are going to put in the show links, the Charity Water example, some of the stuff you guys have done. You showed me something, like a couple of weeks ago where you had even done some animation overlay, right? Where you had hidden the feet or like where the camera below was set up and you had done some overlay. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah. So, one of the things actually in one of our tutorial videos, on our YouTube channel, we talk about different tripod, preferences. So like if you have the tripod straight up, it kind of, if you have the camera rig, so we use a 360 Hero rig that has, I want to say six, can't remember right now. I think it's six or seven different GoPros.
I think kind it's of six, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You guys are using the same one, I think.
Yeah.
But so do you use it? Do you stand it straight up or do you have like the oblique head on it where it kicks it off to the side? Because if you go off to the side, your stitch lines get easier to deal with when you're trying to sync up all those camera views, but your tripod is more visible because it's more in the shot. And so which way do you guys do it?
I think we do it straight up. And I think those are the things. I remember the first time I showed up, we did like a test and I sent you guys the test to kind of show it what we did. But like, it's like, we literally didn't even the first time we did it, we didn't know to put our GoPros wide or open. Like we didn't even know how to put the setting because it didn't even like, we were like, we just realized like, man, we bought this thing and we are just trying to figure out. So even that point is such a good point. Again, watch these tutorials. If you want to go through it, go to the show notes, watch these tutorials.
Well, and you're talking about the powered issue. That there is a good fix coming out for that, but that's going to require probably an upgrade in technology for us. So we're going to have to buy some new equipment.
Mm.
And it's only been like 3 months. So this is, so actually what we're trying to figure out is like, how do we figure out where that money's going to come from?
But yeah.
The animation thing, so if you have this big tripod in the shop, what somebody on our team had seen others doing is you can just animate like a patch on the bottom. And so we've done a lot of this stuff in conjunction with partners. And so we'll do like a partner, like one of them that I can share with you is we worked with Greg Laurie's team. They were here in Dallas doing a big crusade event and we did like a co-branded patch. So like if the viewer looks down at the floor where the tripod would be, you've got kind of a nice, instead of the tripod, which nobody really cares to look at, you've got like a nice branded, you know, patch that you can see. So it's not primary. It doesn't take away from any of the rest of the experience because it's at a spot where nothing's really going on, but it's a way to get some branding in there, which is nice. We've also started experimenting with kind of After Effects motion graphics that pop up live in the video. And that's been really good because that delivers a whole nother element to the piece. So instead of just watching the film, now you can have in a 360 environment, like if you look off to the side, it might not be where the main action's happening, but you can use a little kind of animated. Oh, you remember like pop-up videos on VH1? Yeah. That's the idea. So it's like, bloop, the thing pops up and it tells you a little bit about like, what's going on or, you know, whatever. So.
I still, one of the funniest videos that I've seen in 360 was a group was like capturing it in 360, and a guy from like a they were like at a beach, and a guy from the beach literally just like walked right up to the camera. And that would be a perfect opportunity for just a blurb thing, just to like punch him or something. But there, yeah. So what, again, we'll put this all in the show notes. There's so much with 360. I know I kind of get frustrated just thinking about it. I'm like, I just want to like do this and do that. But, these tutorials that Christian Vision has done are very practical. And we'll give you some examples. Okay. So there's this other thing that, that you guys have gotten into. It's something that Niels was a part of, and now Christian Vision has taken over it, a searchable church. So searchable church, for our listeners, they've probably heard about this once or twice, this idea of Google gives you free, gives you about $10,000 a month of credits to help get your church Google advertisement. Did I hear this right, that Christian Vision now has taken over searchable church, and what's the goal here?
Yeah. So, again, a little backstory is this is, I think, a fairly old idea actually. So when Google Grants came out, there was a lot of buzz, and you can look at this online even now. If you do like Google Grants for church, you know, like a search like that, you'll see a lot of people that talk about, oh, it's really iffy and, it's hard to do and all this stuff. We were thinking, what if, like, we're already kind of engaged in directly buying Google ads to get in front of people who are searching for kind of like crisis issues. So several years ago, I had talked to some people at Google, and they told us that like 2 million people a day search for Jesus online, or, you know, some type of spiritual thing. So how do you get in front of those 2 million people when they're searching for answers about Jesus or the Bible or the gospel? And to use a Google grant for a qualifying nonprofit would be a great way to do that, because, as you say, they make that funding available. We started exploring this concept and like kind of as an agency model. So if we could help people establish a Google grant, if you're a 501c3, all you need is like an EIN number or a, you know, federal tax ID. If you have your 501c3 designation, it's really easy to set up Google for nonprofits, apply for the grant when you get approved. We were going to set up the ad campaigns and everything and just kind of manage it like a marketing agency. Doing a little, you know, marketplace analysis, if you want to call it that. Searchable Church is one of these companies that I came across, and I said to our leadership team, there's some people out there in the marketplace that are serving this client base really well. And if we're going to get into this, we would need to do it very well. And it was kind of a pause moment for us. So it's just to consider, like, is this something we really want to do? Well, fast forward maybe 6-9 months later, I end up meeting Nils for the first time. We were in a meeting together in New York. And then actually the three of us, you and Nils and I, were together recently. And this conversation came up. I was like, tell me more about that. And like, I was just asking a whole bunch of questions, and he was very open with it. And I said, you know, I'd love to just make this available to any church who wants to do it for free, like set up the agency and just all you have to do is say yes, and we do everything else. Just make it easy for people to take advantage of this. And his response was really unexpected to me, because part of me was like, this might be kind of a competitive, you know, offering. And I didn't want, you know, but it wasn't that at all. He was like, I love that idea. How about I just give you all that I've started and we go do that? And I'm like, I was blown away by, that's incredibly generous. He put a ton of time and thought and process into it. And our team's really excited to be able to kind of take that torch, pass it along, and run ahead with it down the road a little bit. So
that's so cool.
It's turning out to be a really good thing. And I can't give Mills enough credit and thanks for the way he responded to all of that.
Well, Mills is a good guy. I have to say that, because I pared him down in the front end. Seriously. I mean, that searchable church, I mean, guys, yeah, please check that out. And I'm excited to hear, especially to hear the ripple effect of something like this that you guys are doing. So like this is, so at the essence, so if you go to cvglobal.co and you see what Christian Vision is about, you see this header up here that's one of the options is touch a billion people. So this is one of those things that your organization sees as very scalable, right? Like this is one of those things that's like, this is worth investment because this is how we can reach more and get to that billion.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we are, so touch of Christian Billion, Christian Vision has a couple of different initiatives. One's the Touch a Billion, and then we have Impact a Nation. And internally, we kind of look at strategies as falling into one of those two camps. Touch a Billion is all about outreach, evangelism, discipleship, and at scale. But I think impact is really more important to achieve first, like find things with deep impact and then figure out how to scale them from there. And if there's all these people searching and ultimately we want to plug them into their local church, we think that this is a way to achieve deep impact at the beginning and then scale by really multiplying that effect through searchable church, helping people. Helping other churches reach their own communities, people that are in their community that are searching. And then as people kind of indicate that they want to have a conversation after seeing a gospel presentation, they want to know more, they want to connect with somebody, we plug them right back into that church. So this is for the church, with the church, free forever. We just do kind of all the back end work to make it happen.
Well, My last question is a very personal question, Nick. do you think baseball will still be around in 50 years?
Oh, I hope so. I think it will. And actually, one of the things I'm really excited about, so CV has teams all over the world. Our team here in North America is very new. We're only about 12 months into this, but we have a team in Miami that oversees like the Spanish-speaking world and South America, Latin America, and we work really closely with them on Spanish-speaking engagement in the U.S. And my friend Mark, the director down there, and I, like, we both love baseball, and I think you get mixed reports on this, but like the Hispanic community that's growing in the U.S. I think is actually doing a lot for the game of baseball that I really love and enjoy. So my kids are huge baseball fans. I'm huge, and they're forced to be because I drag them to games. And my youngest son and I, our team's the Cardinals, and we got to go to spring training this year. We went and caught a game at spring training and met the manager, Mike Matheny, and he signed an autograph for my son. It says John 3:16 on the ball and stuff. Oh, wow. That's really cool. And, but you know, talking to Mark about it, like, kind of the Hispanic community in the U.S. I think is, breathing, you know, some life into baseball, which is really good. And, a lot of, you know, there's all of our favorite players are, all Cardinal players, but, the boys are, like, we track with that stuff all the time. Yadier Molina is like a hero in our house. So,
well, it's interesting because I'm a baseball fan, but I'm not like, you know, I'm an Angels fan. So, but for me, you watch sports and you watch teams and organizations, how they integrate even technology to like reach the next generation and or that generation. It's not necessarily, only the next, it's everybody. But like, you know, I'm watching NBA finals and they're doing, they're doing this Intel 360 thing where you're watching it and they have a 360 capture that's somehow sponsored by Intel technology. And they do a 360 turnaround, you know, as a throwaway shot, you know, while there's a timeout. Or, you know, I sadly watch golf And I have no idea how I watch golf, but I do, and I enjoy watching golf. And I'm like, apologize as I say it out loud. And but they do like tracking the ball, and they have all these different stats. Like with baseball, or just any sport really, like what are you seeing with baseball with technology integration? Because I think baseball is such a good representation, or really any sport that has the rich history as baseball. It's kind of like a good model of the church, where you have all these like traditions and things you can and can't do. And sometimes the church is the same way, where there's all these things you can and can't do. And sometimes even integrating technology, it's like problematic because it changes, you know, even like the pitcher thing, like, you know, with pitching, there's like, should that be more automated where there's a strike zone? But then it's like, well, the strike zone's more like a human thing, you know, depending on the height, and there's all these things. I mean, like, what are some things that UC baseball is doing? And this will be kind of our last thought here, but I was just curious about that since you watch it so heavily.
Yeah. So I'm like a traditionalist. You talk about technology. It's not always augmented reality stuff like tracking shots or that's why like baseball in the stats book, they've got the modern age, you know, and then like the pre-modern age, I guess is what it was. And that, I think you could argue, is really driven by technological advances and, you know, the way the bats are created, or even you could probably go so far to say like nutrition and things like that. I mean, these professional athletes today are just like amazing, you know? Yeah. I'm not probably ever going to argue for more technology in the sport of baseball.
Interesting.
I love that the strike zone is totally, human interaction. Like, I don't like the replay thing. I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
I'm not a replay fan. Again, with Yadier Molina, like that guy's one of the best catchers in Major League Baseball, and he is great at framing a pitch. So like, yeah, he'll catch the ball in the bottom part of his glove and kind of slightly pull it up, and he'll get a strike call when it might have actually been too low outside of the strike zone.
Yeah,
and that pitch by pitch drama is all part of it. Like, I love it, you know, because he's good, you know, and the catcher in this example can make a huge difference in the game just by how he's framing pitches. And the umpire can't like see down over, you know, his chest protector and all that stuff to actually see where that ball is coming in at 100 miles an hour. I do like the things that I think enhance the fan experience though. So I would draw a line between like things that help the umps call the game better and things that make the game better for the fan. So
interesting.
I love augmented reality. I love like pitch tracking, where they'll show, you know, they'll show the strike zone in the grid, and they'll show like pitch after pitch where you've seen this before, where it's like there's a red line that comes in and it shows ball or strike, and they'll frame up like at this at bat, these 8 balls landed in these different places. And I think you can watch the game on TV today and learn so much more than you could probably 15 or 20 years ago, just because of that type of technological advancement. Yeah. You get to understand like pitch by pitch what the pitcher's trying to do and how he's working the count against the batter. And those visuals make it really not only more interesting, but easier to understand. Matt Holliday the other day crushed a 466-foot home run. I think it was against the Nationals. And like the ability to estimate how far the ball goes, I think that's really interesting, you know. I couldn't hit probably 46 feet, you know, so 466 out of the stadium. That's really cool stuff to me.
I love that distinction of the fan experience versus the actual game. I think that's a good distinction, because that is where the problem or the arguments, man. So I was watching, so I hadn't watched a baseball game yet this season, really like a full one. I had it. And I turned on, an Angel game, and I turned it on it was a couple of Mondays ago, and I actually watched it because I was at my grandparents, and my grandpa watches every Angel game. And so we were watching the game, and it was going into the 14th inning, and they talked about changing up the game. They talked about the traditional modern age, and they were talking about, you know, it was one of those where there was two outs. You know, I think Mike Trout was coming up, so they had to pitch all four pitchers to walk him, and they were talking about how they might get rid of that, and they might just say you go to four and you can just automatically walk. And their reason, it sounded like the argument was to speed up the game. But then they were saying, well, the human, my grandpa is 80 years old, who's been watching baseball his entire life. And he's like, I don't like it because that takes out all the play of like, what if they throw a ball and it, you know, there's an error. And then that changes the whole dynamic. So it's pretty much just a win for the defense. And he was like, it was so interesting. And baseball is so interesting. But it's so interesting how everything is laced together. And there's all this history, and even with the stat sheet. But I'm curious to see how that works. And I feel like every commissioner of a sports, there's so much pressure on commissioners now. I don't care if it's Adam Silver with NBA or with baseball or whoever it is. Even in golf, there's this whole argument being made of like the current guy is so old with technology that they want a new guy. And there's like, I wonder how sports will change even with our kids' lifetime. And I hope there is a traditional route because it does mess up a lot of things. But I love that fan experience angle. So I just was rambling there because now you got my mind going, Nick.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, listens to Social Media Church podcast regularly.
Yes.
So, Rob, for you, I would like to say, I want to see some hard evidence that people want the game to be sped up. Like, I like that a baseball game is 3 hours long. You know, I like
and I know the Angels have been victim of this where like Socha has done like called, I swear he's called like 15 pitchers into a game. I swear. Mm-hmm. Like you're like, oh my goodness. And when they have an inning where he like is purposely, and I get it, it's at a prime moment. It's right at the end, but like there is something special. So that game that I was talking about on the Angels, and I'm sorry if everybody's listening, this is a tangent. But this is what we do. So I went to elementary school in Anaheim, right down the street from Angel Stadium, where like the Rams played back in the day, and Disney owned it. Edison owned the stadium, and the Angels have played there since what, 64 or something prior. Anyways. So I'm sitting in Anaheim down the street at my grandparents. That game's going on. We had a kid's birthday party for one of our friends' oldest daughters at like three. She's turning three. And my friend is at the Angels game. And I kept on texting him. First off, I was texting him when a critical play, I called it an out. And I knew he was in the stadium. So I didn't, he couldn't see. So I said, that's an out. And he's like, you were right. And then the game kept on going longer and longer. And I kept on texting. I said, I don't think you're gonna come to this birthday party because you're gonna be there all night. And he's like, no, it'll be fine. And it went from like, you know, the 10th to the 11th. And I think it ended at the 14th or something. But he was late to the party. And that's where you're like, I love the tension of extra innings. But it is crazy that the game can just keep on going. So I have a love-hate war. I love it. Like I really think that hockey has the best overtime rules. Like, I think their overtime rules are amazing. And I don't love hockey, but like there is some there. So I know that's just the DNA of a sport. So you can't really like, that's what it is. But yeah, like I'm curious. So for those listening, we would love to hear your opinions on baseball. Is it too long, too short? I think I'm in the in-between, Nick. I think I don't hate it. I kind of love it, but do you watch, so this is really my last question to you. Do you watch, do you watch any of like the 5 minute replays of games? Cause I know even with you, man, you got kids and family, and I know that's the thing. You can't watch it all, but you do a lot of watching on your phone, right? Where you do like stats.
So yeah. Speaking of technology, like MLB TV, that app, and I've got it on Apple TV. I love that thing.
Yeah.
It's got all sorts of stats on hand, but yeah, you can watch all the games. I will watch the 5 minute overviews Yeah, pretty. I don't know. I mean, maybe a few times a month, you know, but especially if there's like a big game or it's irregular in some way. So it's extra innings or it's like a walk-off home run or something like that, you know, because it's not just the home run at the end, it's the whole game leading up to it, you know. Those are cool. MLB, they hit me every year for like, whatever that subscription is, $130.
Yeah.
I'm happy to get it. Yeah. Like, you can't get any card. Well, we don't buy cable TV either, but like, or pay for premium TV. But that's my premium TV. Like, totally. I'll watch all the Cardinals games. And by the way, Anaheim, I mean, we live in an American League town here in Dallas with the Rangers, but I'm favorable to Anaheim because of Albert Pujols. I love that guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
former
Cardinal, he was amazing. That morning when we woke up and I told my kids Albert Pujols had been traded to the Angels, there were tears over the breakfast. So
I love it. This makes me want to go rewatch a Ken Burns baseball documentary right now. Just having this conversation. So I love that we've covered everything from 360 video. We talked about a searchable church reaching a billion for Jesus. And then now we're just talking about baseball. it is very interesting, you know, like, so basketball, they introduced the light up three. So every time there's like somebody pulls up for a three, it lights up the three line, you know, and there's all this controversy. Is it good or not? I don't know. I love watching sports. I think it's such a good like representation of how best to integrate and we're not to integrate, and there's dumb and good stuff. Nick, thank you so much for taking time. I want to challenge everybody, go to cvglobal.co, go to searchable.church. We'll put all the links of everything that we've talked about in the show. Nick, we got to get you on with Niels and us three, because it will probably even be more tangents if we get all of us on the same call. So thanks so much for being on. So go to socialmedia.church, check out the show notes for all the info of everything we talked about, and use the hashtag SMC podcast. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.